Beautiful. Take your Bible, please, and open it in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2. And while you're turning here, we do want to welcome the throngs of you that are sharing this hour on the internet. You're now part of the morning service of the South Heights Baptist Church. This is the pastor bringing the morning study, Daniel before the king. Now, while you're turning, let me remind you that Daniel is one of 70 of the best of the best that Nebuchadnezzar could capture out of Jerusalem. And he took them to Babylon. And all 70 were put on a three-year program of diet and training, but four did not want to do that. 66 says, okay, and four of the 70 said, we don't want to follow these commandments of the king, this pagan king. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You know their names probably as by their Chaldean names, Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now these four did not want to violate God's laws, and so they asked permission to eat according to the law of God and do so for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, these four Hebrew boys were to be examined, and they were found to be 10 times better in every way than the remaining 66. Now, fast forward 3 years. King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and God speaks to him personally. And there's a great lesson right there that I didn't mention last week. I don't think I did. And even if I did, I need to repeat it. When God calls out to you, whether you're lost or you're saved, when he speaks to you, you need to listen. Find out what he's saying and act accordingly. If you are lost, the Lord extends what do the theologians call a general call. Everyone is called by God through creation, Romans says, through creation unto God. There's two things that we learn about God from creation, his power and his Godhead. Then when he draws you personally, he does what is called a specific call. That's when, if you're saved, you remember the Holy Spirit spoke to you through the gospel, whether you read it or heard it, or maybe you heard it sung in one way or another. The gospel made it to you, and you heard God speak to your heart, drawing you personally. And so when the Lord speaks to you, answer, answer. Now, I mentioned last week, and I mentioned, I think, the week before that, that today God speaks primarily through his word. And the next revealing of his authoritative word will be the living word, the Lord Jesus. But that does not mean he does not talk to us, does not mean he does not speak to us, does not mean that he does not guide us, you know, in our hearts. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He just does not reveal to us his word as authoritative as scripture like he did back then, because it's complete. Now, Nebuchadnezzar has the dream. And so he gets what we would call his political cabinet together and asks them about the dream. Now, this guy is smart. He didn't get to become king being stupid. And he knew that all the people in his cabinet were yes men. They were liars. They were cheats. They were crooks. They were typical politicians. That's funny if you didn't get it. They were typical politicians. My uncle said one time that if a man would say, I'm going to go down to the state house, if you'll elect me, and get everything I can for myself, and when I'm done, if there's any left over, I'll send it back home to y'all, we would probably elect him for being honest. So he knows his cabinet is crooked, and they'll say whatever they think he wants to say. So he doesn't tell them what he dreamed. He doesn't tell them what he heard. He says, okay, I want you to tell me what I dreamed. I want you to tell me what I heard. And then I want you to tell me what it meant. And so he went to his legal department. The Bible calls them magicians. He went to the spiritual advisors, called the astrologers here. He went to the public relations team, called the sorcerers. And he says, tell me the dream and its meaning. Oh, and one more thing, the king said. If you don't tell me what's in the dream and what it means, I will kill you. Now, I would think that that's a great way to incentivize somebody, wouldn't you? Well, of course, they can't do it because they don't know. And so they try to weasel out of getting killed. They do what you see politicians do on the television. They put a spin on it. You ask the politician a question, and they talk in circles, around and around and around, and they never get to the answer. Why? Well, because they don't want to give you the answer, even if they do know it. And so they're trying to weasel out of this death thing, and they don't know what to do. But we saw in verse 10 that human reasoning is going to fail you every single time. Human reasoning, whether you're lost or saved, will fail you. Man's wisdom falls hopelessly short of the wisdom of God. And man's wisdom is called, in one area, situation ethics. In another area, it's called secular humanism. In another area, it's called rationalism. In another area, it's called human philosophy. But folks, the best of the best of human wisdom and human reasoning will always fail you in the long run. Man is totally incapable of solving his real problems without God, because there is no true wisdom apart from the Word of God. When I was a boy, our president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, announced that we were going to, as a nation, we're going to get rid of poverty. We're going to get, some of you old folks remember that, we're going to get rid of poverty, and we're going to create what he called a great society. And we're going to pour incredible amounts of money into education, into housing, into welfare, and we will elevate people from poverty and bring them up to a decent level of living. Only thing went wrong with that. It doesn't work, because the Bible says the heart of man without God is deceitful and wicked. And the housing projects that they built, many have been torn down because they were destroyed by their tenants. The welfare programs are a failure. I saw a thing. Y'all see this senator from Louisiana, Senator Kennedy? He's a riot. And he is on a Senate committee, and he's interviewing somebody in the IRS or something. And you know how many, and he says, do you know how many people you folks sent checks to last year, tax refund, that are dead, that are, you know, they're not, and it was something in the billions of dollars. It's horrific, how much, you know, and there's people scamming the system like crazy. The education system, you can't educate people out of poverty. They have to work out of it. Work, teach them to work. When I was in school, they had a thing called woodshop. They had a thing called home ec. They had a thing called metal shop. And they had a thing where you could learn how to work on cars. And they don't have any of that anymore. And, you know, I just, nobody wants to work. Everybody wants a handout. They want to get a free this and a free that. And in fact, you folks, it is so bad that the city of New York, Are you ready for this? If you didn't know it, you're going to fall over. They elected an avowed socialist, he's really a communist, as the mayor of their city, because he promised to give them everything. Just remember what someone wrote in a comedy song years ago. The moral of the story of the song is, it goes this way. Attend to very well. Exactly who the devil is often hard to tell. He may be tall and thin, short and fat. He may be thin and tall. He may be the person for whom you voted in the fall. The government can't fix anything. All it does is make a mess of it, because human wisdom will fail you every single time. Every single time. I repeated this over the years. I'm going to repeat it again because it fits. Years ago, over in Arkansas, they raise a lot of chickens. In East Texas, they raise a lot of chickens. and a virus got amongst those chickens and was just killing them like crazy. And the Agricultural Department from Washington sent their best team of experts down to study and examine and probe and analyze and figure out what's killing all these chickens. And when they got through probing and studying and analyzing what was going on, they wrote back their report. We don't know what's killing the chickens. We cannot isolate the virus that's killing them. But we do know one thing. We know that the chickens who get sick and linger a while have a far better chance of recovery than the chickens that die immediately. That's your government at work. Human wisdom at work. Without the Word of God, we are nothing but educated fools. So when these guys couldn't answer Nebuchadnezzar, he ordered everybody, all the wise men, killed. Round them up and kill them. And Daniel was one of them because of his great knowledge and wisdom. Now, before we pick up where we left off last week, I need you to make a couple of mental notations. The Bible talks about something called the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles. That is a period of time that extends from the captivity of Judah, 568 BC, and goes through the second coming of the Messiah, okay, which happens at the end of the tribulation. It covers from Nebuchadnezzar through the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, through the entire church age, through the rapture, and through the seven-year tribulation, and it ends with the second coming. That's the times of the Gentiles. Now, on Pentecost Sunday, which is what we have today, happens to be Memorial Day also weekend, there's also something called the fullness of the Gentiles. That began, and Romans 11:25 refers to this, that began on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Christ's resurrection, and it goes all the way through the rapture. So we have the times of the Gentiles, 568 BC, till the end of the tribulation, the fullness of the Gentiles, day of Pentecost through the rapture. And the reason it's called the fullness of the Gentiles is because at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and empowered God's people with the ability that he gives to do the work of the Lord. They were saved already. The church was already established. In fact, Christ was building his church before he died. And so understand that the church didn't become established at the day of Pentecost. It became empowered at the day of Pentecost. Okay? So those two things are not the same, but they run concurrently and one extends past the other. Now, that by now you found Daniel 2. Let's look at verse 14. And it's not a sin to look at an index to find out where to go. Okay? Verse 14, and Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Here's what happened. They couldn't tell him. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now, Daniel was a great man of faith. He didn't go into the king's chamber, king's presence, trembling. He went in boldly because he did not doubt one bit that God wouldn't give him the answer. Kind of like Elijah, who was facing the prophets of Baal. And he has them build the altar and, you know, they do their thing and nothing happens. And finally he says, okay, pour water and water and more water. They just soaked the thing. He didn't have any question in his mind that when he bowed his head and asked the Lord God to show who was the real God, that God wouldn't answer his prayer. What a great man of faith. Daniel's just like that. He goes in knowing that God will tell him. All he has to do is get the king to give him time to go ask the Lord about it. Verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. and they were his companions, that they would desire mercies of the Lord of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now notice, when Daniel needed prayer partners, men whom he knew were able to get hold of God, he went to the three that he knew were already walking with the Lord. Do you hear me? They don't have to say, well, wait a minute, I've got some unconfessed sin in my life I need to get rid of and get all cleaned up before I can pray for you. No, he wanted help now. And he went to those that he knew were in tune with the Lord already. And there's a great lesson in that, young people. Listen, when you're in desperate need of prayer, you better call on those folks who are already living close to God. So they prayed. Verse 19. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So what did Daniel do? Daniel didn't go running back to the king. What did he do? Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He thanked the Lord. He praised him. He didn't go off and tell the king immediately. He told God, I thank you. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that who know understanding. Now, that word wisdom is very important. Wisdom in the Bible is the ability to see things from God's viewpoint. And knowledge is the desire and ability to apply what you learn. Wisdom also carries with it the idea of not only knowing, but applying God's word. Notice it says in verse 21, he giveth wisdom unto the wise. Now you would think that God would give wisdom to the unwise, the foolish. But that's not what God does. Over in the New Testament, we read the Bible where the Bible talks about taking, God takes from those that which he has given them, but they're unwilling to use, and gives it to those who will. I have a very dear friend who's in the heaven now, John Hamilton. John Hamilton was a wonderful Baptist pastor, an incredible concert pianist. He also had a magnificent singing voice, and he was a Jenks High School graduate, years and years in the 30s. And John could play anything, just unbelievable. And when I knew him, he had had throat cancer. And you know, your vocal cords vibrate like this. You know, they vibrate. One of his vocal cords got a nodule, a cancer on it. And it failed. That whole thing failed. And when I knew him, he's still pastoring at the University Baptist Church in Ames, Iowa. He could only talk like this. And I said, John, what happened to your voice? Well, I got a nodule on one of my vocal cords. And he said, this is all that I can do anymore. Why do you think that happened? You're a pastor and you need to be able to preach the word of God. And he said, I was a singer too. I could play and I could sing, but I didn't use my singing voice for God. I just used it for self. And so God took it away from me. Now all I can do is what I'm doing right now. And he preached like that. Now you can preach like that, not as well as you can with both everything working. But he said because he didn't use what God gave him, God took it away from him. If God gives you an ability, use it. Use it. So, when the Bible says in verse 21, he giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them which know understanding. It's referring to the fact that the one who digs and digs into the Word of God, the unending treasures of God's Word, will soon discover as he does that God will open up his word and help him to see and understand the word of God more fully and deeply than professing Christians who don't. A lot of what happens in our lives happens because of our ignorance. A lot of the things we fail to learn is because we don't study. And while it is common for some professing Christians to want to know and want to understand the deeper things of the Word of God, I'm convinced that God will never reveal them, the deeper things, to someone who has failed to do the necessary basics, the fundamentals down first. You got to read your Bible every day. You've got to pray daily. Get a good copy of Scripture. Get a good concordance and learn to study the Word of God. He gives wisdom, he says, to the wise, those who are already growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. There's another thing that we're going to learn here, that world events are under God's control. Have you learned that? Boy, I don't worry about what happens in the world. I mean, I'm concerned about it. That's natural. But you know what? I'm not worried about it. When I was growing up, some of you kids are too young to remember this. We had, in public school, we had nuclear attack drills. In other words, we had in our basement of the schools, we had nuclear fallout shelters. And yet, what they would do is take us out in the hallway and they'd put us on the floor. And then they would have us, I can't do it, but they would have us fold our hands like this and put them behind our neck and bend our head between our knees, like that's going to protect us from a nuclear blast. Or they'd put us under our metal desks, you know, the ones that had the chair separate from the desk itself, like that's going to protect you from melting when the bomb goes off. And I remember the media, you know, the media is bad, just as bad then as they are now. They were just doom and gloom, the whole world. You know, Russia has the ability to blow the world up X number of times. It never bothered me because my parents told me that the Bible says Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David on this earth. And he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Now, if man's going to blow the world up, how's Jesus going to do that? So don't worry about that. It's just like global warming and climate change. You know what? Okay, young people, let me give you a bit of fatherly advice about global warming. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. The climate changes on its own. God's got all that worked out. The world even repairs itself. God put little critters in the oceans, you know what they like to eat? Oil. They eat oil. We've been driving, Route 66 is 100 years old this year. And we've been driving on Route 66 for 100 years on rubber tires. Rubber tires, right? Now, you drive your car and you drive it, and you wear all the tread off. You're wearing rubber off your tires, right? Where does all that rubber go? 100 years of people driving just on one highway, not to mention all the rest of them, where is all the rubber gone? If matter can neither be created nor destroyed, and it can't, we should be this deep in rubber. Where does it go? They found now that there are critters on the side of the road that eat rubber. Did you know this? How many heard that besides me? Anybody? You've heard that. A couple of us. They eat. So God, in eternity past, knew to create a critter that when the time came, he's just having dinner all day long on the side of the road. It turns into this dust. It goes off on the side of the road and gets eaten. So God's got all this worked out. But because we think in our pusillanimous minds that we know everything, that we as mankind can destroy the world, that we can ruin God's creation. Boy, we sure think a lot of ourselves, don't we? World events are under God's control. Look at verse 21. He changeth the times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that which know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. Now, what are the deep and secret things? He's not talking about some mystical, numerological thing that you get from reading the Word of God. It's just, folks, there are things that are in the Word of God that he doesn't reveal to babies. You don't give babies steak. They can't digest it. You give them strained beets. You give them stuff that just looks awful. And they love it. But they have to grow into hot dogs and hamburgers and steak because they're not able to digest it. Similarly, spiritual babies are not able to handle the sincere, deep meat of the Word. You have to start with the water of the Word, then get into the milk of the Word, and then you get into some of the stuff that's deeper. And there are things that God just doesn't reveal to baby Christians because they're not already learning. When I was going to school, we started with basic math, plus, minus, divide, all that stuff. And then they got into geometry. Then they got into algebra. That's about as far as I got. But you don't start trigonometry and algebra 2 in fourth grade. You learn math. They teach you in levels until you can handle it. I never got where I could handle it. But I knew people who could. So he says in verse 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. In 1 John, the Bible says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Folks, there's never been a time that when there was ever anything that God did not know with regard to the decisions and actions people would take. And Daniel understands this. So in verse 23, he writes, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, the prayer that they made. For thou hast now made known unto us, the other three plus Daniel, the king's matter. Now, it's very interesting what happens next. Verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went, so God gives him the answer, unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went to the said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. Notice what he says. I have found this man. Over in Psalm, don't turn to it, but over in Psalm 75, verse 6, the Bible says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one, he setteth up another. You see, God is in charge of promotions. Next time you think you need to get promoted at work, just talk to God about it. Let the Lord be in charge of that. Don't buck for the better paying job. It might put you in a higher tax bracket. Just let the Lord handle it. Just let the Lord handle it. I had been working, started on the day I turned 16 at Mack Trucks in Tulsa, sweeping floors. 6 months later, right before school started, the owner came by and said, how long have you been working here? 6 months. 6 months? I went, yes, sir. He said, about time for a raise, isn't it? I don't know. I got a raise. I was making $3.25 an hour. It went to $3.75 an hour, 1976. Never asked for a raise. Just did my job. When I went to college, 3 years later, at the end of two years later, I'd worked there a total of 3 years nearly, I was making $5.25 an hour. minimum wage was $1.15. I never asked for a raise. Just my parents taught me. My dad said, just trust the Lord. He'll take care of you. Just do your job. Just work. Trust the Lord. Now, God's in charge of promotions. But Arioch says, I found a man. In other words, they're all going to get killed. And if I can't find someone that can give the answer, I might get killed too. So he said, oh, king, be sure to know, I'm the one who found him. Do I get a finder's fee? Verse 26. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name they called him Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have dreamed, I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, cannot the astrologers, cannot the magicians, cannot the soothsayers show or reveal to the king. No man can do it. No man can tell you the answer. Verse 28. But there is a God, capital G, in heaven, which revealeth secrets and maketh known unto the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Circle that. Latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Notice he says there is a God. Not the God. Or excuse me. One of the gods, not a god small g, there is a singular God. Daniel uses some phrases, remember, that we've talked about. Latter days, things that should come to pass hereafter, things that should come to pass, all those refer to prophecy. And they were given, at this point, 600 B.C. Verse 28 says, there is a God in heaven that who revealeth secrets, maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And while it was prophetic for them, it is historical for us. Everything that Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar was yet future for them. But we can look back on history and see that it happened exactly like God told Daniel they would happen. God told Daniel, gave him a list of all of the worldwide empires that would ever come to be, and they happened just like God said, in the order that God said, and they all fell just like God said. Notice verse 30. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. God did not reveal, Daniel says, because of who and what I am. Let me remind you that we do what we do for God, not because of our love for him, but because of his love for us. Our love is finite. Our love is unable to really express what we ought in praise to God. But God's love is infinite. And when God sent his son to die on the cross, he demonstrated that in a way that we could never understand or do on our own. He says in verse 30, as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. I'm not great, Daniel says, and because I am not a great man, God has chosen to reveal the things to me because of who and what he is, not who and what I am. And therefore, I have no reason and no right to boast. Sweet people, God loves us. And he saves us not because we deserve it or because we merit it, but just because he loves us. That's why the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He offers to us salvation, to everyone who will call upon his name, because he's not willing that any should perish but everyone should come to a saving knowledge of his Son. Regardless of their money, regardless of their stature, regardless of their position in the community, regardless of their material goods, everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God has sent his Son to die for everyone. And that payment can become applicable to you right now, if he hasn't done so already, if you'll just let him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you placed your faith and trust in him to save your soul? If you haven't done that, in a moment, we're going to pray and sing a hymn of appeal and invite you to come and receive Christ as your Savior. If you're watching online and don't know Christ as Savior, send me a message through the messenger service there. And after the service is over here, I'll be happy to respond to you and help you. But here in this room, if you don't know Christ as Savior, we're going to pray and sing a hymn of appeal and invite you to come. Everybody that Jesus called to himself, he called personally and publicly. And so we make a public appeal for you to personally receive Jesus as Savior. Maybe you're saved this morning and you need to come and pray on your own for someone or something or for yourself. Or you need to ask for prayer for someone or something or for yourself. Or to unite with our church, become a part of our church family. Whatever God would have you do, won't you do it as we pray and as we sing? Father, thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace. I thank you for the Lord Jesus that gave himself for us and was buried and raised again on the third day for our justification. And right now is ascended and seated at thy right hand, waiting the moment when you send him to take us away in what we call the rapture. If there be one here or watching that doesn't know Christ as Savior, Lord, I just pray you'll save them this moment. Have your way in our lives in this moment of invitation is my prayer. In Christ's name, amen.